The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the First and 10 podcast right here on the Blogging the Boys podcast network. Your host, of course, Dave Sturcio, alongside two of the premier writers of bloggingtheboys.com. We're talking about Aiden Davis and Tony Catalina. Fellas, the Dallas Cowboys get a third straight win under dare I say Hall of Fame quarterback Cooper Rush gets the win today, and he's now 3-0 as a starter this year, 4-0 overall. The first Dallas Cowboys quarterback to ever do that. So that was interesting and fun to see. But 25-10, they take care of the Commanders. The Commanders are who we thought they were. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. There's plenty to get into. First and foremost, on a career milestone, I want to give flowers to Tony Catalina for covering that game last night in the world of college football. I got to admit, that was pretty badass to see you out there doing your thing, bro.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That was definitely a surreal moment to be able to be in that media room and do something I've always wanted to do as a kid.
So you couldn't want, I mean, you had a chance right there to talk to Jim Mora Jr. And you couldn't have like dropped playoffs in there at all. Just for, you don't want to do it.
drop the ball.
Yeah. So, all right. So the Cowboys get the win, obviously. Aiden, your knee jerk reaction to a win in the way that they did it. We'll obviously get into the specifics and break it all down here on the podcast, but just overall your feeling right now for as the Cowboys move to 3-1.
I mean, hey, after the Buccaneers game, we all knew what we were feeling about this team and the fact that we've won three straight. I'm not going to say that any win at this point, especially a 15 point win is bad, or that this game is played out exactly how I expected it, how I would have expected it to, with a backup Dallas quarterback and a great defense. Like, yes, the defense won us the game today. Cooper Rush didn't look spectacular, but he got the job done. He did what he needed to, took advantage of big opportunities. He was airing the ball out at the end. So to me, it was about what I expected, I'd say.
Yeah, we'll get more into the airing out effect in a little bit in a segment I like to call "How Can Kellen Moore Fire Himself This Week?" Because I was just I was on fire on the old Twitter machine with the play calling towards the end there, trying to win the game. And, he had plenty of people saying, well, if you would have caught that ball, you would have been singing there. I'm like, no kidding. That's the NFL. Of course, I would have shined down and said he's the greatest offensive coordinator ever. But it didn't work out like that. Anyway, Tony, same thing, man. How you feeling? 3-1 again. I read a tweet today from Gelkin right after the game, and it seemed like, this Cowboys team, I'm paraphrasing, Cowboys team walked off this field 3 weeks ago with a loss to Tampa Bay, a broken thumb or whatever exactly the injury was with Dak, two more key stars hurt. And 3 weeks later, it's a 3-1 Dallas Cowboys team, Dak on the way back. Like, how do you feel right now? Like, we obviously all picked the Cowboys to win this game, I believe, right? Aiden, you didn't pick the okay. I was just making sure. Yeah. Aiden, like, ye a little faith over here, usually picks the other team. But how you feeling right now, Tony Catalina, with the Cowboys now being still a game behind the Philadelphia Eagles? We'll get into the NFC East player, the picture at least, 4 weeks into the season. But how are you feeling after this dub?
If you were to sit here and tell me, or tell anybody really, that the Cowboys would be 3-1 after the first month of the season, after what we saw in week one, you'd be lying. I don't think anybody really forecasted this. I know I certainly didn't. I was talking about how if Cooper Rush can go out there and win one football game, I feel like he would have did his job. Now we're sitting here with a 3-game winning streak. And you know what? These are games on the schedule that we dived on and talked about for a while. And we said that these were games that we thought the Cowboys were going to win with Dak Prescott. It just felt like everything was just going the way it was supposed to go, right? It doesn't look the same, but the result has been the same. I think we all expected this team to be good enough to get to this point. It's just doing it in a different way. I feel really good. I think this defense is special, for a lack of another word. Like, this defense is doing things that is in rarefied air. I mean, they've given up 4 touchdowns in 4 games, so this defense need all their flowers. But I've said it from, you know, I've said it multiple times on other airwaves, and I put it on Twitter, like, this is where the season starts. Now we're looking at the Rams, we're looking at the Eagles, we're gonna find out what kind of team this is over the next 2 weeks.
Aiden, obviously he brought up the defense, and yeah, it's been playing extra special. Obviously Micah Parsons, I held my breath towards the end of that game. He had bent over and I was like, oh God, no, please guys, just take anybody. I just take my back. I don't care. Like, just take the walking ability away from me for a week. I don't care. You know, like, I don't take Micah Parsons. But then obviously the Cowboys battled some injuries today. Obviously, early in the game, we lost Jordan Lewis to, what was it? A hamstring injury or.
Yeah, he did it in pregame.
Unbelievable. So it's like only the Cowboys can get hurt while doing walkthroughs. So he gets hurt. Obviously, Bland comes in, has himself a day. Aiden, is that a testament to this defense that we're deep everywhere? Because everything that seems to go wrong when it comes to on the injury front, or, you know, J-Ron Kearse has been out. Like, is this the deepest defense you've ever seen, in a long time at least?
I mean, since I've been alive, it absolutely is. Since I've been watching the Cowboys.
I was going to say that, but I didn't want to paint the picture that we were so young. But yes, as long as you've been on this earth, is this the deepest defense you've ever seen?
It absolutely is. I mean, outside of DeMarcus Lawrence, and if we're not counting Micah Parsons as a defensive end, who's the best defensive end on this team? I mean, Dorrance Armstrong looked great at times. Dante Fowler's looked great at times. I mean, you can do the same with the defensive line. I mean, Gallimore's looked great. Osa's looked good. I think Tristan Hill's been incredibly underrated this season. Bahana, well, obviously injured, but he's looked very good this year. And then you start getting in the secondary where Deron Bland is making crazy interceptions when this is his first career NFL game. I mean, I just think this defense, it's special in the way that there's so many players that can contribute, and as injuries start rolling on, and they will, because this is the NFL, it is great to have a deep defense.
Tony, when he's talking about deep defenses and coming into this game, I believe they were 9th in the league overall as far as the overall defense. Are you a little bit? Now, look, I'm not going to try to pour cold water on a very hot team right now, 3-1, and defense is playing great. Are you a little concerned, though, about this run defense? I mean, I feel like there was a couple times where, you know, guys like J.D. McKissick shouldn't be breaking off runs. And Antonio Gibson was about to be listed as a kick returner this year before, his backup got shot. You know what I'm saying? So, like, things happen over in Washington. But by the way, what a poverty franchise. Everything's going wrong for them. And it's just the most wonderful sight and the most wonderful sound we've ever heard. But, like, overall, like, does the run defense alarm you a little bit?
You know what? It does a little bit. I found myself asking those questions. And when I was doing my notes throughout the game, like, that was something I was kept saying. It's like, man, they look a little leaky there in the run defense. And we hadn't seen that for a while. I mean, it looked like that week one against Leonard Fournette, but they kind of shirted it up against the Bengals and the Giants. I know Saquon hit one big last week, but for the most part, they bottled him up. If you want to, it's not really nitpicking, but if you want to nitpick one thing that this defense can be better at, it's in the run defense. And when you're playing good teams and you get later into the year, December, January, if you want to play playoff football, a lot of those teams are going to have good running games. So you're going to have to get physical. So, I like victories like this, right? You take a win, you take a W in the win column there, but at the same time, you learn something from it. So I think this defense, even though they're playing lights out, there definitely is some things they can work on.
Yeah, there's specifically a very, very bend but don't break defense, and they took care of business today as they have in the first 4 weeks of football. You know, you take the loss aside against Tampa Bay, and I think this defense is still playing great football. So I'm not worried about the defense whatsoever. Now, obviously, you know, the headlines are going to be the headlines tomorrow, and obviously Cooper Rush gets himself another win as a quote young quarterback. I know he's been in the league for a little while now, but of course, like, I don't know if you guys got the same feeling. Did any of you guys catch the pregame on Fox by any stretch? All right, so you didn't hate him, but you did, Tony. Mm-hmm. Did you feel like, you know, it was almost like, oh no, like the writing's on the wall, like Aaron Andrews had a sit down with Cooper Rush, and I was like, oh no, like all of a sudden we got to worry about this crap because now the expectations are super high. But obviously Cooper Rush is doing his thing. He's lacing him in there. He made a couple bad throws that were negated by penalties, which is, you know, worked out in our favor, which kind of never happens actually. You know, if you think about it, we're always the one on the receiving end. And I do have to give a testament to the team itself. I believe they only had like four penalties the entire game, if that, maybe even three. I know what the Commanders went absolutely ham in the penalty department, over 100 yards. But Tony, you're looking at Cooper Rush and Dak, you know, is on the sidelines, is rooting the team on. He's got nothing but a little bit of a Band-Aid on. Is, you know, they're talking about the swelling and this, that, and a third. Now that this team has won three games in a row and they put themselves in a position where they're, believe it or not, tied with the New York Football Giants, but the Giants haven't played anybody yet on their schedule yet, so I'm not worried about that. But the Commanders are sitting there in the basement, but the Eagles, once again, get it done against Jacksonville, in which that game could be had, just so everybody's clear. You know, the Jaguars had a chance to actually win that game multiple times. But when you look at this, the headlines are going to come out. You're in the media. We're all in the media. We're looking at these, the Cowboys. I saw people putting pictures of Dak Prescott, say, anybody need a quarterback? We got one for discount. Like, people are literally all over this Cooper Rush hype train. Where do you stand on it going into to face the world champions, who tomorrow or today, as you're listening, they square off against the 49ers on Monday Night Football? So clearly we'll get a better understanding of, you know, who's healthy and who's not when it comes to the Rams. But what are you doing with Cooper Rush in this time period right now?
I want to be as crystal clear and I want to speak as clearly as I possibly can. Okay. Anybody who thinks that Cooper Rush is going to play a second longer than when Dak Prescott is ready, you're out of your mind, okay? There is absolutely 0% chance that Cooper Rush plays one snap longer than when Dak Prescott is healthy. So if that game isn't here, if he's not ready for the Rams game, Cooper Rush will be out there. But the minute that Dak Prescott gets the green light, he can grip the football, he can throw it with the same velocity and strength that he needs to, the Cooper Rush experiment, as great as it's been, it's over. Okay, Cooper Rush has definitely extended his career. It may not be here in Dallas. He may go be somewhere else. He might go and get some money. But guess what? He will never, under any circumstances on God's green earth, will he ever take Dak Prescott's job. So I need people to understand that. When they listen to this podcast, if you want to tweet at me and fight about it, fight with your mama, because I ain't fighting with you about it, okay? Dak Prescott is the quarterback of this football team, and it shouldn't. The fact that there's enough people out there talking about it that we have to talk about is actually laughable to me.
All right, well, just be sure that that started around the 9-minute mark of the podcast, because I know you're going to clip that up and put that on social, because that was a good one right there. I hope, listen, I'll ask Aiden's opinion in a second, but I'm with you. The only thing I can say is that if Dak Prescott is, quote, cleared to play and he gets a decent workload this week in particular, right, I think you can live in a scenario where Cooper Rush is your starter and Dak Prescott could be the emergency backup if things get really nasty. Like, he's not totally ready, but he's serviceable. I don't know if that's a thing that you have a $40 million quarterback on the bench as your two and you're active. Like you just said, like, as long as he's healthy, he's in the game. I don't know. You know, it's not. And look, I'm not rooting for a controversy because there is none. I agree with you. There is no controversy. Dak Prescott is the franchise quarterback of this team. You paid him the big bucks to go out there and win a Super Bowl. Now he's in a situation where, you know, and I said this before on Twitter, right before the game, and it got a nice response, because it's like, when was the last time the Dallas Cowboys had a backup quarterback to win games in replacement? You know what I mean? Like, there's been so many times we've been through the Kyle Ortons and the John Kitnas and the Chad Hutchinsons and the whatever, you know what I mean? Like, all these guys that have played all these games and they've lost Brandon Whedon. You know, I was at one point tweeting out Whedon boys, like, because I was excited about them going in there with Brandon Whedon. Like, there's been times where I'm like, don't worry, we got this, and we never did. It's a satisfying thing that we were able to do it, you know, obviously testament to the defense, testament to the coaching staff, testament to other things. But, you know, it's a nice feeling that Dak Prescott can come back to a team not needing to, like, dig himself out of this massive hole. because right now the Cowboys are serviceable. Right now they're one of the top teams in the NFC. Standings are showing. You know what I mean? I'm not just saying it. Like if you look at the top, you have the Eagles undefeated, and then you have the, you know, your Bucks of the world and the Rams, and then we're right there. You know what I mean? So I think I'm with you in that regard. Cooper Rush, to me, my opinion right now, as people listen to it Monday, I think he starts against LA. I don't think there's a rush back, no pun. I don't think there's an urgency right now being at the Cowboys start of 3-1. If they were 1-3 and things look like the wheels are falling off this team, it'd be a whole different ball game. But because that he won, I think this gives Dak Prescott another clean bill of health going into a very, very pivotal Sunday night football game against the Philadelphia Eagles.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prof G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
You know, the thing is, and I just want to make this clear because I think a lot of people on Twitter or, you know, Cowboys Nation haven't really put this together yet. The pressure to come back early is solely a Dak Prescott thing. This is who he is. He's ingrained. He's a super ultra competitive guy. He's doing everything he can to come back. They hear from Dak Prescott that he's trying to come back from the Rams. We've already heard Stephen Jones and Jerry Jones both say, like, now the ball is in Dak Prescott's court. When the swelling goes down, when he's able to grip the football, when he's able to get that strength, he's coming back. If the Cowboys were 3-0 like they are now, or 0-3, I think Dak Prescott, the quarterback, would still have that same fire to want to come back. So ultimately, he's going to have to do the right thing to what's good for his body. And if he comes back early, it could be detrimental to the rest of the season. But that fire to come back is solely number four.
Yeah, no, I wholeheartedly agree. It doesn't matter what the team is doing. I just think it's a luxury that he can come back and not have to worry about digging himself out of a hole. Aiden, where do you stand on the whole, again, I'm not calling it the controversy because it's not. Heading into LA, you know, it's a big game, NFC game, 425 slot. I'm sure they got the Fox game of the week. Or I haven't looked yet, but I'm assuming that's what it is. So they got that game. And, you know, you have Cooper Rush winning 3 straight. You got Dak Prescott almost right there. Where are you sitting on this?
Yeah. So first, the last time the Cowboys had a competent quarterback who could win them games, cop out answer, 2016, when Tony Romo was the backup quarterback. But I think, and over these past 2 weeks, I've kind of on the podcast come across as a Cooper Rush hater. And I love Cooper Rush. I love what he's done for the team. He's 3-0. I still just think the defense has been playing so unbelievably well over these last 3 weeks that it's really setting Cooper Rush in a position where, yeah, he only needs to score a couple touchdowns in a game, and that's enough. So he's also, the one thing I'll say, and Cooper Rush is great. He has been very lucky this season. Against the Bengals, there was at least 3 to 4 passes that should have been picked that they were just dropped. Today, there was 2 passes that were picks that he got lucky with the penalty on. Once again, Cooper Rush, good backup quarterback. Loved what he's done. But the one thing I'll say about Cooper Rush is the fact that I think he's showed me enough to where I don't want Dak, and this might be a bold take because I don't really know where Dak is in his recovery. I don't want Dak back until after the Eagles game because I don't want Dak's first game back to be against either a Rams defensive line that is amazing or B, an Eagles defensive line that's amazing. I just don't want that. Like, he's going to be under pressure all game. it's going to be a bad situation for him. And then you're only going to open him up to controversy or worse yet, injuries. So I'd prefer him to come back against the Lions the Lions.
There's some, there's some speculation or talk about the fact that the reason why Dak has been pushing so hard to get back for that Rams game is because he understands the importance of this Eagles game and he wants a little bit of a tune-up before the division game. Now, that we're not punting on the Rams and we're not thinking that the Rams are some cakewalk, that Dak is in imminent danger if he's injured, but the fact is he understands that the Philadelphia Eagles is a pivotal matchup in this NFC East and just getting some, getting his feet wet a little bit will help him better for that game. So I think ultimately, if you're asking me my two cents, I think Dak will be back for the Eagles game no matter what. But the real question is, does he come back for the Rams game? And I think I'm with Sturch. I don't think he does, but I think that's his plan in his mind.
Now I got a bunt that's like loaded now. Now I'm loaded with questions because I am curious to know your thoughts when it comes to Aiden in specific, because again, you said that Cooper Rush was, on the good side of luck a couple of these plays, and he was like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. He's not sitting like, nobody can sit there and beat their chest like, what are you talking about? Like, Cooper Rush, he's unbelievable. Like, no, like, there was a lot of the ooh, how did that not one get picked kind of balls, right? Do you feel like the last 2 weeks, if Dak Prescott was in there, that we just completely blow the doors off the Giants and the Washington Commanders?
I mean, that's really difficult. We saw it happen last year. I mean, Dak was.
That's what I'm saying. Like, even, he's got a nice track record against both those teams.
That's why I'm saying. Like, last year, even over the back half of the season, when Dak was quote unquote struggling, we saw the injury play. He wasn't great. He still hung, what, 40 points on the Commander, 49 points on the Commanders? Like, he beats the NFC East up. I think it would have been, with the way our defense played, I think today's win, we're talking about like a 36-10 victory. Maybe. I can't tell you for sure, but that would be my opinion.
The old hypotheticals are always fun. But I do want to make a programming note, or at least a historical note, that the Dallas Cowboys are now lifetime undefeated against the Washington Commanders, according to RJ Ochoa, who threw out that nugget, that they've never lost a game when they played the Washington Commanders in the history of the Dallas Cowboys. So if you're a historian, we made history this weekend, just so everybody's aware. By the way, I cannot believe that any part of the marketing department or any kind of staff thought it was a good idea to trot out in those black uniforms. Those things are hideous. And not only are they hideous, like, I had my friend Brett Ernst, former, he's with me at the Jersey Boys podcast. He went to the game and he said he walked in at, warmups, and he's like, yo, I literally thought we were playing the Steelers. Like, he was like, what? Did I just go to the wrong game?
Is it bad to say that I kind of like the uniforms? Now, granted, it's hilarious that they then trot out those uniforms, and with a backup quarterback, we embarrass them. It's like the red stripe on our helmet, but I didn't hate the uniforms when I first saw them. I was like, yeah, those.
Tony, he's showing his youth, bro. He's showing his youth right there.
I'm going to be honest. I don't really like them. With the double line border like behind the name.
Okay, I don't like the double line border.
Yeah. That like looks kind of like signified, like, oh, this is where the name starts and this is where it ends. So we're going to put a bar there just so like everybody's clear. Microsoft Word template. Like, what are we doing? Yeah.
It's like anyway, a Word template.
So obviously, it's all sunshine and rainbows, except for the fact that, again, towards the end of this game, it seems like Kellen Moore wanted to put some air under the ball for whatever reason, right? And we have a chance to kind of ice it, give the ball to Zeke. And I understand. Look, I'm going to preface this by saying the running game just wasn't there today, okay? Listen, without Chase Young, that Washington Commanders defensive front, they're a bunch of bullies, okay? There are some good, heavy-hitting football players on that defensive line, no doubt about it. And the running game wasn't working. But at the end, Tony, do you agree with the play calling of him just airing it out? I mean, I know we got one interference call, which is fun, great. It never happens for us, right? But like, are you a fan of airing this ball out and going for the absolute jugular?
You know what? It's funny. I was watching this and I kind of had the same feeling you did. I'm going to have to go watch it and rewatch it again to kind of look at it. But at first I was like, oh, Kellen Moore, what is he doing? But after I, kind of thought about it, I think this was like a heat check in basketball where I think Cooper Rush was like feeling himself. What I mean? He's like, I've already hit these guys over the top. Like, I'm gonna just put my foot on the throat here, because like you said, it didn't really make sense. Like, we're such a run oriented team. You can hand this ball off to Zeke and Tony Pollard and let's get the hell out of here with a win. But he was like, all right, I'm going for the shot here. I'm going Noah Brown. I'm going CeeDee Lamb. And I'm like, man, this dude's shooting threes from the corner right now because he's feeling it. But
From the corner. He's Steph Curry and putting this ball up from the half court.
Yeah, like, yeah, he's from the logo. Like,
the high percentage shot is not there. You know, no. And I don't know what he's doing.
It didn't make any sense. And that's why I was like, I don't know if Kellen Moore, the low-key kind of conservative play caller, is banging these with 3 minutes in the game left. But you know what? Like I said, I don't love the play call, to answer your question poignantly. But, yeah, that's something to definitely take a look at.
Something else to take a look at. And look, I know that, you know, under Cooper Rush, you're not going to think high octane air assault, right? You're not going to think that way. But there's one position that I think that has felt a little underwhelming right now. And the return of Dalton Schultz today, I thought for sure that he was going to get heavily, heavily involved. And it just didn't seem to be the case. And I'm looking at the backups and I'm like, all right, so maybe they'll give Ferguson some more love or Hendershot. It just seems like the Cowboys weren't looking for their tight end. Is this something, Aiden, I'll start with you. Is this something that is alarming, or should we be giving our boy Sean McEwen some more love? Like, what should we be doing about this this tight end position?
I think this is less of a Dalton Schultz issue and more of a I do think, Tony, you mentioned the heat check. I think Cooper Rush really was feeling himself today. He threw for 8.3 yards per carry. He wasn't going for the tight end shots. He was going for the Noah Brown 40 yards down the field. He was hitting CeeDee Lamb down the field. He wanted the yards, and he was going to use every receiver. I mean, he even went deep to Michael Gallup 2 to 3 times, which that's a still recovering Michael Gallup. He wanted the deep balls today, and I just think I can't really remember any passes that I was like, oh, yeah, he's taking the dump off on that. He was gunning it today.
He didn't even throw that ball. He didn't even dump the ball off to Pollard enough. Like, I just feel like there was no screen game. One, the first one from Zeke early on when he was in the flat and he just kind of took it for like 30. That looked like it was like, oh, nice little design there. Good blocking down the field. But I felt like the check down was not part of the game plan today. Tony, you agree?
Yeah. And it just to kind of I have some numbers that kind of, it tells the story sometimes. All three tight ends, right? You mentioned Hendershot, Schultz and Jake Ferguson. One reception for 7 yards the whole game out of all three of them. Thanks. Schultz didn't get one. Hendershot didn't get one. Ferguson had one reception for 7 yards. So that's more of a systemic thing, right? They whether it wasn't there or they didn't like the matchup or they like the wide receivers better. And that's just how the game played out. So that's interesting to kind of see if that's just like a one-off or a trend moving forward. But you're right. I think they tried to hit some screens sometimes. I just think that the way the defensive line plays in these linebackers for Washington, which they have a pretty stout front seven. I think I have a ton of respect for those front seven guys there, but it just wasn't there. It was weird. And I think that's why Cooper Rush had a lot of feeling to go deep, because those two high safeties, you know, they don't like the corners. There's a mismatch there. CeeDee Lamb and Noah Brown and Gallup, they were having their way a little bit with that secondary. And Cooper Rush was like, man, Noah Brown's out in there somewhere, right? So,
yeah. So blindfolded. Yep, here we go. My God. All right. Well, again, there's not a lot of bad to take away from this. The one thing I will say is that we all kind of held our breath with Zach Martin. Seems like he's okay. He went right back again. I'm sure he'll be limited for a couple days, and that's fine. That's normal, you know, normal wear and tear. He rolled his ankle. We saw that happen. The play of Jason Peters, he came in there. I felt like this offensive line today, they didn't play that well. They did not play that well. And look, again, it's hard for me to say like, hey, the Cowboys won 25-10. Why are you bashing this team? I'm not trying to bash the team. I'm just trying to right the wrongs of this team. And I think one of the wrongs was the offensive line. Aiden, when you look at this offensive line as a whole, is it something that like you wish there was more continuity as far as like five across, like let's stop messing around? Because I feel like there's times where Connor McGovern was in there and Farniak, and then this guy's playing fullback, and then Jason Peters is in there. Do you believe in the fact that they have like a rotating offensive line, or would you like to see just five across, stop messing around?
My thing with the front five is I just don't know what the deal with Peters is he still getting up to speed? Is he still like, does he still have conditioning that he needs to get into because he is 40 years old? Like, I just don't know if they want to use him sparingly because of his age, or if there's some requirement he has to hit the, because he is the best left guard on this team. When he's on the field, this team is better with Peters on the field than they are with McGovern or Farniak. And so I'd love them just to say, all right, our front five is Tyler Smith, Jason Peters, Biotish, Martin, and Steele. Let's roll this all season. And then now you have a little bit more flexibility in terms of you can play McGovern at that fullback role that they like to use him in last year. So I'd love to see some continuity. I think the offensive line has actually been pretty decent this season. I wrote an article about it later this week. Today was a really rough showing for them after a few weeks of them looking like surprisingly a great offensive line.
Pass blocking, I say they're still holding up. You know what I mean? Like he was under duress a little bit where you're just like, ah, man, you know, in my mind, I'm like, those are the times where you're like, well, if that's Dak, he's getting out of there. You know what I'm saying? Like, so there are some things where you're just like, okay, but the run blocking is just, it wasn't good. We were stuffed in the back. Daron Payne was back there before the handoff was given.
The one thing I'll say about pass blocking is Cooper Rush so far, and this was through week three, so I'm sure it'll change after week four. He had the second fastest time to throw behind Tom Brady, so he's getting the ball quick, and he's making the pass blocking look a lot better than it is. With that said, we'll see how this goes, because I have no idea what to make of this front five right now. Two bad games.
So according to Aiden, it is an illusion, folks. Just so you know, there is an illusion that the offensive line is pass blocking. Well, Tony, you're an offensive line guy. Your brother played for this poverty franchise a couple times ago. I'm talking about the Commanders, not the Cowboys. You know, so when you look at this offensive line, are you thinking that, you know, the addition of Peters, I almost want to say, and this is not like a bold take or anything like that, but do you think that the signing of Peters was almost like Jerry and Stephen Jones saying like, all right, guys, shut up. We did something. You know what I mean? And like, it might not have been the right move. I mean, he's in there. He had a beautiful block last week, the spring Pollard, right? And today I saw him out there and he's a big, big boy. So I'm just trying to figure out where he actually fits. Where does he fit in your offensive line if you're the head coach?
So I just want to say this and preface it. If it doesn't come true, you could guys come back to me and have egg on my face. But I can't confirm it. I can't deny it. I've just heard some things that this is the week moving forward that they think they're going to slide Jason Peters in for a full workload at left guard. I think ultimately this is what the plan is. They gave him 2 weeks, you know, at this before camp, and then this is the fourth weekend. They kind of put him in for 20 to 30 snaps this week, and I think now they're going to put him in at left guard. They like the idea of him being the de facto swing tackle if he has to be, but the starting left guard next week is the possibility. You know, like I said, if it doesn't come true, then, you know, then my source is always wrong. But I say that to say, I think that the Cowboys seen value in Jason Peters, and I do think they stumbled into something like Jerry Jones and Steven do a lot of the times. I think they really do think, or did think, that Jason Peters was going to be the left tackle of this team while Tyron Smith was out, and then Tyler Smith was going to kick inside, and that's what they had a vision. Tyler Smith's play, credit to him to go out there and play well and exceed everyone's expectations, including mine. And now he played so well that Jason Peters is like, hey, man, can you play a little guard? Otherwise, you're going to be on the bench. So now him being a big body guard, which everything you hear about is Tyler Smith and Jason Peters have gotten together like a big brother, little brother situation. And those two together has been awesome for the maturation of Tyler Smith. And I just think those two together, you can hear him and see him communicate in pre-snap and stuff when he's out there. I think that's only going to be beneficial for this offensive line, because Aiden hit the nail on the head with it. He's absolutely the best option at left guard. Like, I didn't love Connor McGovern. Nobody loved Matt Farniok. And if it isn't going to be Tyler Smith, then let's put Jason Peters out there. And I think that's what the Cowboys are going to do starting next week.
All right. Well, that's the offensive line report brought to you by Tony Catalina's Twitter. So if he's wrong, make sure you go assault him next week.
Let me know. Yeah.
Jason Peters, if he's going to play guard next week, guess what? He might have his hands full. He might have the best player in football right lining up over him. So this
that's
is gonna
a factor
be
a, as well.
Yeah. Wait, Micah Parsons got traded to the Rams?
I love it. All right. So obviously, look, the team played well, you know, and they got out of there with a nice win. They're feeling themselves. The fans are flying high right now. Obviously, the game ahead will be previewed by the Blogging the Boys podcast network. I will get a little bit of a week away prediction from you guys just to figure out what we can do against the LA Rams. I know it's way too long away and the Rams still have a game to be played, so anything can happen. But before I do that, I want to give you guys a chance to give a game ball out. Okay. Like, who's the guy that stepped up the most? And you can call it the obvious. You can do whatever you want. Aiden, I'll start with you. Who, today with the 25-10 win over the Commanders, who gets your game ball today?
I'm going to give it to a Dallas secondary member who, to me, played a very impressive game of football today, and his name is not Trayvon Diggs. I'm going to give my game ball to Daron Bland. First NFL start, I really liked him coming in. I think from what we saw from him today, just as good as Jordan Lewis. Now, granted, it's a one-game sample size. He's still young. He'll have games where he gets burned. But I was so impressed with him today. The interception was great, and I'm looking forward to seeing the stats tomorrow in terms of what it was like when they targeted him. So Daron Bland's my pick.
Nice. Tony, looks like you were a little upset when he picked Bland, so that was your guy. So who's your backup?
Yeah, Daron Bland was my guy, and the fact that we were both thinking that at the first, it tells you how his performance was. The man didn't even think he was starting until about 15 minutes before kickoff. So overcoming some adversity. But I'm going to stay in the secondary, and I'm going to stick with the guy that I didn't have making my roster like a damn fool. But I'm going to say Donovan Wilson. This guy is – he's aggressive. He's, you know, they talked about him being one of the heart and souls of that defense. And I'm starting to think it's these safeties overall, because they say that same thing about Jaron Kearse. And when Jaron Kearse ain't out there, it's Donovan Wilson out there. He's playing at the, you know, by the line of scrimmage. He's playing like a hybrid linebacker role. He's filling in run plays. He's making plays in the passing game. The Cowboys and Donovan Wilson, he's just come into this role and into this player that he is, that the Cowboys are so lucky to have somebody like that. And, you know, I can't say enough things about Donovan Wilson. If you believe the next gen stats of ESPN, they have him as the second ranked safety in all of the NFL right now. And you know, there are some stud safeties in this league. And for him to get that type of praise, I got to give my game ball to Donovan Wilson.
All right. I like it. I'm going to give mine. Being that I asked the question, I'm going to probably give two. But I will start with a returning Michael Gallup. I think having him back was a very, very cool thing. I think seeing him run some routes and actually catching a touchdown was such like a weight lifted off this kid's shoulders, where now he's going to be able to play loose. He's got that one in the bank. He's going to be playing better as weeks go on. And I think that Michael Gallup, having him out there, enabled you guys to watch, as Cowboys fans watch, CeeDee Lamb eat. When the focus is not all on CeeDee Lamb, he had himself a day, and Cooper Rush found him often, early, and for a tug. So obviously Michael Gallup's a big one. But I gotta say this, and this is my even though I won't clip this up, maybe Tony will for me, but this is my moment here to give all the praise to a guy that everybody under the sun, not named or not labeled as a Cowboys fan or media member, were saying, well, you know, those interceptions are cool, but have you seen those yards he's given up? It is Trayvon Diggs, man. That dude gives all out effort every single play, and to a fault sometimes, where sometimes he will over pursue a route and give up a big play. But you know what? Today was not that day. Trayvon Diggs was an absolute animal out there. He's just one of those guys that, again, quarterbacks are going to think twice to even look over there in his area. I think that's a plan, because his ball skills, look, we all knew that ball went up down the seam, and we're like, if Diggs is there, he's taking it. You know what I mean? Like, we all knew that. There was no doubt in any of our minds that he wasn't going to come down with that ball, and he did. That's 2 weeks in a row with a pick. He's only going to get better. He's deflecting, and the pass breakups, he's getting involved in every stretch that you can get involved as a member of the secondary. And much to the praise of Adano and a Daron Bland and everybody that really contributed here. You know, we didn't have to say Micah Parsons today. We didn't have to say DeMarcus Lawrence, and they all played amazing. This defense is something. It's fun, man. Aiden, what's up?
Yeah, I just wanted to add one thing about Trayvon Diggs I think was overlooked. Last season, Trayvon Diggs led the NFL and led NFL cornerbacks in penalties too. I don't think he's been penalized this year. The guy's just flat out he's just flat out playing tight coverage, clean coverage, still getting the picks apparently, while also defending passes and getting the breakups that we weren't seeing last year. Also, shout out to Brett Maher. He would be my second game ball winner.
Money? You mean Money Maher? You put respect on his Money name. And you give him his nickname the way it should be earned. Yeah, man, he hasn't missed a field goal. That one bad block, that was a, you know, one of those things where I was. And oh, shout out to the fact that he chased that man down and tackled him himself. So Brett Maher is doing things over in the special teams game. Turpin almost gave us a heart attack a little bit, but you know, that's just the way it is. That's Cowboys football. We all know we have to panic every time the ball's in the air. But all right, so game balls are given out. The Cowboys get the win. They're 3-1 without much analysis, like almost like a gut feeling. Aiden, can Cooper Rush, because right now, as we're recording this right now, it's Cooper Rush's team for at least the next week. in practice, if he has a good week of practice, I can't see a change being made. Can Cooper Rush dethrone the champions?
It's tough. The only way the Cowboys are going to dethrone the champions, it's not going to be Cooper Rush who dethrones them. It's going to be the Cowboys defense holding them to like less than 13 and Cooper Rush doing just a little bit more than that. My gut feeling is they can, but they won't.
All right. Gut feeling, Tony.
Yeah. You kind of, that last sentence kind of took it for me. Can they? Yeah, sure. Will they? I don't know. It's not even really the offense that scares me, because we know how the Cowboys defense is. They're capable of, they've shown so far through 4 weeks to stop anybody, right? It's just, can our offense make plays against a Jalen Ramsey and Aaron Donald? Those, that's a really stout defense over there. And so I'm glad that Michael Gallup is back, but it would take a big heroic effort for him to win this game. But if they do, man, look out. Look out, everybody else.
All right, I'm gonna be that guy then. Cooper Rush and the Cowboys beat the Rams next week, by the way, in Hollywood, in somewhat prime time, 4:25 start over here on the East Coast. Cowboys are going to do it. The Cowboys are rolling right now. This defense, they think they could play with anybody right now. And when you have that kind of confidence on one side of the ball, where you guys listen, like, obviously it's going to be another fun one. I think around Tuesday, Wednesday, they drop that sound to the sidelines. If you listen to these guys on the sidelines, the unity that these guys are playing with together is something that I don't think I've ever seen before. So for that reason, I think the Cowboys get enough done. I think they will get it going again on the ground. I think that Cooper Rush is not going to be responsible to sit there and throw 350 yards to beat the Rams. I think it's going to be a collective effort, but I think they're going to do it. I truly do. And I think people are going to start taking us serious. And then if you thought people were talking about a controversy now, imagine going 4 in a row and then having Dak saying, yeah, I can throw. And you're like, nah, it's all right. You don't have to. So you can just sit there. Hell, hold that clipboard. It's doing wonders. But I think the Cowboys could do it, man. I know you guys both said they can, but they won't. I'm saying they can. I think they will. So that's just me. I mean,
it'd be a good problem to have.
All this stuff that I'm drinking right now, is all water on the camera, but it could have a heavy dose of Cowboys Kool-Aid in it. So with that, I'm going to ride that into the sunset. So this has been another episode of the First and 10 podcast right here on the Blogging the Boys Podcast Network. For Dave Sturcio, Tony Catalina, and Aiden Davis, be sure to check out the rest of the content here on the Blogging the Boys, either YouTube. I know they're going to have a round table, and then of course you have all the podcasts that lead up to next week's, hopefully, Cowboys win. See you guys later.